Grace, peace, and mercy from God our Father and His precious Son, Jesus Christ. Good evening to each and every one of you today, saints. We bless the Lord for He is truly good and wonderful, and we just want to give Him the praise and the honor today. Our scripture reading will be taken from 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 7 through 12. I'll repeat that, 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 7 through 12. Verse 7, and it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan seven times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. What I want you to see here is how they trusted in God then and how the trust we have in God today. So our text is titled, Trust God. Trust God. In these last days, in these times, if there's one thing we got to do, we got to trust God. Mm-hmm. We cannot put our confidence in man, but we must trust God in what He's saying to us this day. Consider your life, how you question some things, and how some things are trusted and some things are not. But let's summarize how Naaman's trust came about, starting in the beginning. In the beginning of this chapter, there was a man named Naaman. He was captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man to his master and honorable. By Naaman, the Lord gave deliverance to Syria. He was a mighty man in valor. And Naaman was a leper. Now, leprosy back then was incurable, but durable. Today, leprosy is curable with multi-drug therapy. People affected by leprosy back then were placed in leper colonies. Some of these places still exist today, like India, China, Africa, and Thailand. In Naaman's case, his leprosy was durable. And a maid waited on Naaman's wife. The maid said, if only Naaman would go to the prophet in Samaria, he would make him well. True prophets back then were known by the people. The word spoken to Naaman's wife got back to the king of Syria. And the king told Naaman to go. He sent a letter unto the king of Israel. The letter said, "I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may recover him of his leprosy." This brings us to verse 7. Again, and it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you,
and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. The king had no idea what was going on. Why is he sending his servant to me? He must want to start a war. Have you ever had one of those days when you wake up and it seems like the whole world wants to go to war with you? You just have no idea whether to go to the left or to the right, whether to get up or stay in the bed. And it was so when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Back then, kings and those in authority listened to the prophets, not like today, that everybody seems to think they know what's best. There were not a lot of true prophets left back then, because remember, Jezebel had killed them. But some still had prophets they could rely on. So in verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. We see here the king listened and Naaman went to Elisha's house. So Naaman stood at Elisha's door. Now watch what happens. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Here Naaman has traveled all the way with horses and chariots. A letter was sent before him to the king of Israel that he was coming. But he was sent to Elisha's house. And now Elisha sends a servant out to tell him what to do. What would you do if you went to see someone and they sent someone else out to meet and talk with you? Someone less important in your eyes. Someone less knowledgeable of your case. And they don't know anything about you. When you go to see someone for something, you expect that person to come out. If you go to a doctor, you don't expect to see the janitor. If you go see a lawyer, you don't want another client helping you. You expect the person you came to see to talk to you. Mm-hmm. But Naaman was wroth. He was hot. He was angry. He was upset. And went away and said, "Behold, I thought, and that's what happens to us sometimes, we think, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hands over the place and recover the leper." Naaman had in his own mind how he thought his healing should come. And it had to come by the prophet he was sent to. If you request prayer, is the pastor the only one that can pray? Can your prayer be answered by the voice of Sister Rosalind? Does it have to be Pastor or Sister Rosalind? What happened to the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, which availeth much? Mm-hmm. Naaman had a chance to get this leprosy eradicated. Then, we may not have leprosy today, but we deal with things that trouble our flesh. Mm-hmm. They are durable, and by his blood, they are curable. Mm-hmm. They don't stop us, but they slow us down. It can range from depression to pain in your body, from troubled minds to upset stomach. But regardless of what it is, regardless of where it is, we have someone we can go to and call on.
Yes.
It is the word that heals us, not the person speaking it. They are just a vessel speaking the words that we believe are coming from God to us. But again, Naaman was mad because Elijah didn't come out. Again, the prayer you need, can it come from your husband? Could your wife speak a word to you? All you really need is, how do I get rid of this issue? And sometimes the answer is, humble yourself to who is speaking to you. Mm-hmm. This is what Naaman said about his issue. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. So Naaman was not only upset about who came out, but he was upset with where he had to go to get clean. Mm-hmm. And he had to dip 7 times in that river. The River Jordan wasn't the cleanest water among them all. Don't that sound like us sometimes? We get upset with someone. Why do I have to go to them? Why couldn't you send T.D. Jakes to give me this word? God, why I got to do that? Why I got to go there? Why did you say it to them? Can't you just make it happen? Naaman was acting the same way we do in times. He was trying to lock God down to healing the way he wanted. Mm-hmm. If you finish this chapter, you will find eventually he humbled himself, he turned, and he did just what was told for him to do, and he was made clean.
Yes.
Now let's see how we are sometimes in other situations. Put yourself in Elijah's shoes and ask yourself how you would respond if God was talking to you. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. And I'm going to start with verse 1. And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be a dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now you think we had some dry times this past week. It's a long time before they was going to get rain. But this is what the Lord told Elijah to tell Ahab. Next, the word spoken is what was spoken to Elijah himself. Verse 2 says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. What if this was you? How would you respond? See, back in Lot's case, the angel told Lot to escape and go to the mountain. But Lot wanted to go to the city. The angel simply said, whether you go to the mountain or the city, you got to get out of here because God has directed me to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot went to the city. But guess what, saints? God knows best, because Lot ended up going to the mountain like he should have in the first place.
Amen.
When God is telling us to do something, it's for a reason.
Yes.
If he's saying stay in the house, stay in the house. Mm-hmm. If he's saying go, then we should go. Mm-hmm. But we must be in tune and listen to what God is saying. You see, Elijah had no problem doing as God commanded. Mm-hmm. He had no ties. He had no house. He had no property. But Elijah also had seen and knows what God can do. Now, God may not be asking us to go hide near a brook, but there are things he has talked to us about. And we also know what God can do. Amen. That's a good spot for amen, even if I don't hear it. That's a good spot right there.
Amen.
Verse 4 says, and if he shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Elijah went and he waited. Now, again, put yourself here. God is saying to you, wait at the brook. God said, drink from the brook and eat what a raven brings you. I'll respond. Seriously, God? Seriously? God, you know all I drink is bottled water. And I ain't heard of no grocery store called Raven. The inventions of man are beginning to cause the people of God not to hear the voice of God. If it don't come from the store, if it ain't grilled, fried, or baked with seasoned salt, we won't eat it. In verse 5, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now, if you saw how your water was cleaned today, and what was in the water before they began to clean it, you might drink water from the brook. Well, I can't eat that. I don't know where that flesh came from. That might be roadkill. If you saw how meat was processed from the market, you might think twice about the raven. It may not be meal on wheels, Weight Watchers, or Nutrisystem, but the raven was faithful to God's command. And the food was clean and edible. God would not send or give you something that you could not eat, or take you to a brook that the water was not clean enough to drink. He brought Elijah food twice a day. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, if you go back and you read the accounts, you'll find that it didn't rain for 3.5 years. So eventually, without no water flowing, it's going to dry up. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, and see, here's the test. Here's the trial. God was just seeing just how faithful his servant would be, and he trusted him, and he showed his trust. He stayed there. The raven came continuously, and it was that way until the brook dried up. Again, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I'll respond. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, now, send me to the widow. Now, she know how to cook. I ain't got to worry about no raven feeding me no food. That's what I'm talking about. Home-cooked meal. Verse 10, so he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering up sticks. And he called to her and said, listen to this. Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water and a vessel that I may drink. Mm-hmm. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Huh? I'm at the Holiday Inn now. Now put yourself in this widow's place. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. This is it. This is all I got. All I got is a handful of meal, some oil, 2 sticks, so I can eat my last meal in peace and die. And you asking me to give it to you. You got to be out of your mind. That's exactly what some of us would say. Mm-hmm. Would you give your last to a stranger? Anybody ever fell on hard times and you found yourself hiding food so you'd have something when you got hungry? Or somebody know what I'm talking about. A lot of you don't know nothing about that. But verse 13 says, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Oh, so in other words, what I got to give to you first, which means we're going to get less. But he said, for thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Now, this is the way we think again. Okay, let me get this straight. If it ain't rained since I don't know when, and you're telling me if I give you my last first, the barrel of meal will not empty, and the oil will not fail. That's what you're saying? Mm-hmm. I can already see the wood bottom, and you're going to tell me it ain't going to empty. If God is going to do this, why didn't he just let it rain? That's how some of us think. So we don't see the beginning of the new because we are too busy looking at the present end. We have so many things we can trust in. Amen. That we have forgotten how to trust in God. Mm-hmm. Verse 16 says, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Mm-hmm. In Samuel it says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Sometimes we must get out of self and let God work. David said, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So what am I saying? We should not complain about what we can't or won't do. And we should not complain about what God is doing. We must understand whatever God is doing, and that's this particular time, whatever God is allowing to happen today, it is for our sake and our good. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. We must listen closely to what God is saying to us so we won't miss what God is saying, which is for our sake. My time is up. I thank you for yours.